Yes, sir, man. We back with another episode, goddamn, of the High Key Hilarious Podcast, man. This week, man, we doing our first ever interview, man. And of course, it's only right that the first interview goes to our brother, the person that we grew up with, one of the most talented motherfuckers that I know, period, is the one and only Mute Smith, man. So let's give a big round of applause for my brother.
What's good, bro? Key, what's good?
What's good with you now, man?
On this High Key Podcast, bro.
Yes, appreciate it, man.
It's an honor to be out on here, man.
Yes, sir, man. I cannot be more happy to do this podcast with my brother from another mother, the best drummer in the Bay. And if you got something to say, then you could catch the fade. And that's on my mama, Bueta Mulonga. Let's give him a round of applause, y'all. Yes, sir, man. So we got the band back together. So we know this is finna be some funny ass shit, bro. I guess I should call you Mute because that is your rap name. All right, Mute. All right, bro. So first things first, you know, not a lot of people know about you. So you just want to give them like a little background information about, you know, yourself and basically low key how all three of us kind of met each other. I mean, you ain't got to tell the whole story, but just like, you know, how you grew up in the Bay or something like that. Just a little info about yourself.
I'm Mute. I grew up in San Francisco for like the first 6 years of my life. Then I moved down to like Palo Alto. My mom worked, went to school in East Palo Alto and Menlo Park. So growing up, those two places, I spent a lot of my time, and that's where I met these two boys. I would say it was in middle school. Like, we was playing ball together.
Hell yeah.
Before, like, sixth grade or something like that, when the Gossies popped. So I think that's when we all first met. And then, ever since then, bro, like, We've been homies, bro. Yeah, we was young as heck, bro.
I forgot about Negasi and his dad. Yeah. Wow.
We was playing on that little, like, summer AAU team. And boy. I think after, like, because y'all were already at Eastside at that point. But I was, like, in Menlo still. But I was just playing over there. But I was like, dang, like, if y'all go to high school, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy enough, we ended up all going to Eastside.
Hell yeah. Everybody went to Eastside. Everybody lived in the dorms. Everybody got kicked out of the dorms.
I know. Damn near same year.
Same time, same day, same area. Yeah. Bro, I think we literally all moved out probably on the same day because they told me I wasn't coming back. And they told Owen the same day. And Owen said, nigga, I'm not coming back anyways. I said, oh, shit. All right, then.
Yeah, they wasn't fucking with us, bro.
Oh man, that shit was hella funny.
They was not fucking with nobody in them dorms, bro.
Man. Shit. Yeah, but like he said, man, this goes way back, man. We known each other, all three of us, probably since like sixth grade. But what is still terrible at basketball. If y'all seen him shoot the basketball, he probably break the fucking basketball hoop.
I dunk on all y'all today, right now. Come see me.
With the step ladder.
Mute, bro. In sixth grade, this nigga Boyd got in the game. We played a middle school game in the sixth grade. Mind you, we only played one game all season, bro.
Practice.
Oh yeah, we practiced, but that don't count, bro. Boyd get in the game. When I tell you this man threw. You ever seen like when they throw darts?
I'm mad.
Yes.
You know how it's just like a quick shot and they go to the next shot. Like you don't show the actual transition. Bro, yeah, all you seen was Boyd go like this, and all you seen is the ball go like this.
Sometimes I wouldn't know how y'all did that in terms of accuracy and aim, bro. My shit would either go over the whole situation, bro.
It's because you take steroids, bro. You need to relax, bro. He would shoot that shit full power at the free throw line. It'll bounce off.
I wasn't gonna make it if I didn't. Shit.
It's gonna make it to the other side of the court.
Bro, we had Spur. It was good. Shit.
And we lost it in white boys like 55-12.
Why are you talking about that?
Nah, bro. It's 2020. We talking about equality now. It's 2020. We for equality now, bro. Them white boys were serving the shit out of us. It was bad. Was Chris our coach?
At that time? Nah.
I don't think so.
I don't remember. Nah.
I think Chris would have quit if he seen that.
He would have been like, we need to get back in the line. We got a lot of work to do.
He said, you playing like that, you might as well just stay for late work every week, bro. It's bad.
Oh,
all right, man. All right, let's get right into it. So, all right, Mute, man. You've been making music for about, since as long as I've known you. So,
something like that. 7 years. Serious? Yeah. Like, yeah. Probably like 6 or 7. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all right. So you're making music for about 6 or 7 years. From what I remember, when we were in high school, you put out like 2 EPs. You had a couple singles that was hits. I think you did something with Jordan too, if I'm not mistaken, back then, but I don't really remember. Yeah. So you had a couple projects that you was really putting in work for, I was like, the first 6 years, because you know, most folks, they just put out a single or two nowadays. They go to Frank Ocean route where they just put out a single and then they just, all right, it is what it is. I'm finna blow up after this. But it's like, you know, you was actually putting in work throughout them 6 years. And I could actually vouch for that too, because I was damn near in your room every night. I'm damn near, because we was running away from Michaela or Darren. But every night though, you was for surely always writing.
Right.
You was always doing something that had to do with music. So you was for surely on your grind. But yeah, I don't know where Boetta was at that time. Boetta was probably running up the stairs on all fours or something.
All fours?
I'm not even going to say that.
Bruh, I still got that video to this day, bro. To this day.
Delete. Said delete. I was thinking about that shit yesterday, too. I was like, why the fuck was I doing that?
Oh, bro. It was hella funny back then. But yeah, bro. So you made a couple projects throughout the first 6 or 7 years in your career. Now looking at the year 2020 so far, you know, what do you think it's been like for you, musical wise, at least, like, you know, how have you taken it in like throughout this year? Have you experienced, you know, more goods or bads that came with, you know, writing or producing your music and stuff?
I think there's kind of like a good and a bad thing to everything sort of, but I feel like over this time, man, like I definitely learned a lot more knowledge just in the field in general. Whether it's like more about the music industry, like I just finished this book by David Passman, I believe that's his name. It's called All You Need to Know About the Music Industry, Music Business. And that really goes into depth about like contracts and copyrights, et cetera, et cetera. So like if any other artists are watching this, should I definitely recommend go getting that book.
Yeah, but what was the name of that book? Like
for a little bit of time, All You Need to Know About the Music Business.
All right, All You Need to Know About the Music Business. Yep. Don't make me say that shit again twice.
All You Need to Know About the Music Business, David Passman.
Yes,
but
sir.
I think for a minute I stepped away from like recording like a little bit, and I really like went crazy with production and just trying to like learn more about that, and also just mixing. So I think with that past knowledge in like the past couple months and like this past year, I would say I definitely feel like I'm in a better place in terms of like at least having some sort of knowledge of every aspect of the music, whether it's songwriting, making the beats, or mixing and mastering. I think if I really want to, like, excel at this, that I don't necessarily have to do everything, because I need to play to my strengths and I know my weaknesses. But at the same time, I think it's good that I have knowledge of each kind of field. So I'm not getting bullshitted, you know, if that makes sense. I know it's not going to take 3 weeks to, like, mix one song or, you know what I mean? It's just, like, things like that. If people are telling you, it's taking me this long for that, like, you kind of have an idea of if that's true.
If they really bullshitting or not.
So I think that was, I think that was, like, a huge plus side for me, kind of reaching and learning about these other fields within the music. But yeah, bro, I just think it helped me be more well-rounded. Honestly.
When you started diving into producing, how did that change how you stepped into the studio? Like, did you hear things different? Like, did you start, like, ooh, did you become more technical with shit?
Yeah, bro. Like, I definitely started getting more tactical. And I think even while listening to music, bro, I started noticing, like, more little things. Like, when I'm listening to music, even with the vocals over and shit, I'm like, damn, like, that little ass bell or that little ass, like, pump, yeah. You know what I mean? Because they layered up the melodies. I'm like, this little, like, thing that they put under there that's, like, just making this sound crazy, though. And it's something that's small. So I think, like, in the producing, knowing, like, little ear candy to put in the beats that make it sound full and that kind of take you into a new world. You know what I mean? But yeah. I definitely approach it different.
Jumping from that, I got a side question. Like, for me, when I do videos or when I'm, like, editing and stuff, I have, like, a whole kind of, like, set package just for, like, shit that I know that I'm going to use. So, like, say, like, specific colors or, like, shades if I want to change something or, like, specific audio or sound effects. So, like, is there, like, do you have, like, a specific package that you also just, like, or tools that you kind of centered your sound around basically now? Because, I mean, it just seems like it'll be way easier, you know, rather than having to pick something every little time. But, I mean, that could be, that's what makes music, you know, great, because if you're picking it, then you expressing yourself every time. But, you know, if you got a set, then it's just easier to crunch out whatever you got to do. So, like, have you
been? Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, like, so I mean, in terms of that, bro, like, I got, like, project templates, you know, that I make so I can just hop in and, like, start adding things where I don't really have to make things from scratch every time or, like, add how many tracks or whatever. So I think, like, that really helps, making templates. And, like,
so,
like, I also got drum kits that, like, I labeled. Yeah. And, you know, I got, like, go-to drum kits where I know, like, damn, this one got good kicks or something. You know, I got those probably 3 to 4 go-to drum kits that I go for sounds.
Hell yeah.
If I'm just starting out, you know, that I know are good to at least build off an idea. I can change stuff later, but, yeah.
And last time I talked to you, we was talking about you buying that board, remember that red board? Did you ever get that?
The MIDI keyboard thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, I'm finna wait till Black Friday, bro.
Nah,
I was talking to Cal about this because I was like, yeah, bro, I was finna just like splurge on the studio stuff like as soon as I got back, like just immediately set up. But I was like, damn, like maybe I should just make a list or whatever, kind of prioritize what I really need. And then just wait around, like, you know, 2 months or whatever when Black Friday come around because I can pick up a bunch of stuff at a discounted price. I'm like, might as well. So now I'm just kind of like saving up and peeping my situation, seeing what I need, how much of whatever I need.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer live or electronic? Or does it make a difference to you?
What do you mean? Like if I'm cooking up in the studio or live performance?
Kind of live performance, more so live music. Like, because, you know, I'm assuming with the keyboard, you can produce a bunch of different sounds with that, right? Like, would you prefer live or the electronic like that? Or does it make a difference when you're recording?
Oh, you mean like the classical piano?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Or you mean like playing, like having a band on stage?
But whether it was on stage or not, just in general.
That's tough.
I would love to do that, bro. I don't think I've honestly ever done that. Like, I think the closest thing that I've done to that probably is, like, my homie got this thing called a SP. It's, like, what we recorded that whole album Flurries on. But, like, he was on stage kind of, like, playing the beat sort of as I was going and doing vocal effects on my voice as I was going. But, bro, I'd never honestly been up there with, like, live people on the drums or guitar or on piano, but I feel like that would be stupid. I would love to do that. I just haven't found like
my room, like that.
I guess.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I feel like the energy of that would be hella live.
Yeah, and it would just sound different. And you know, I feel like I would be able to catch it even if it sounds different. Like, I love having, it'll be the same song, just like a different vibe, you know?
Yeah, different.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah. You give me a live band, I don't care if you playing the roly-poly, I don't care if you playing ABCs, I'm finna get that thing jumping, okay? I'm finna...
You feel me?
That shit jumping.
That's what it's all about too, bro.
So, throughout this year, I know a lot of crazy shit has happened. I don't know if I asked you already, but like what are your, first off, like how's your mom's doing? Like what up with 2020 and all that stuff? And what are your thoughts on just basically like what has basically just been going on in 2020 and, you know, the newest shootings that we got and, you know, like what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so first, my mom is doing straight, bro. Her health is good.
That's great.
Blessed, you know what I mean? Finna go back to see her soon. They just been quarantining at the crib, bro, as they should. And then in terms of, like, 2020, just, like, quarantine and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like COVID, like how that's affected, it definitely has affected a lot of things, bro. But I think it's taught us like a lot of things, bro. Mm-hmm. And what I've been preaching to, like,
wait, I got a question real quick too. Like, it's hella weird in Colorado too. So like, have you seen any like protests or anything like that, like out there or in Colorado, or are they just
with it? Yeah, bro. Like we've definitely had protests. I've been to some. Like pretty wild, bro. Pretty wild. Like they had tear gas and like pellets and all that stuff, bro. Yeah, it was pretty crazy, bro. And it's been like, I don't know. This city is like, it's kind of weird and like indifferent. There's a lot of people on like both sides, I guess. But I think, like, a lot of stuff that's been triggering, like, in my head is, like, I think with the protest that's been happening, I think protesters and rioters are getting, like, blurred, bruh. And we need to stop that. Like,
facts.
Yeah. We got to stop using them as if they're synonyms.
Interchangeable. Because they're not. Yeah.
They're not synonyms, bro. So, and I think that's like really blurring the lines, bro, and kind of taking it away from.
Yeah.
No, hell yeah.
Ain't no reason for violent force or protest, bro.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I agree 100% because people always say, like, how can you leave accountability to be held upon Black Lives Matter for looters, but you hold no accountability for NRA when 17-year-old white kids start shooting up malls, start shooting up protests, stuff like that. So it's like, if someone's going to be held responsible, it should definitely be the NRA. Yeah. But if you're going to have an equal playing field, then all parties got to be held accountable for the actions that proceed after the movements that you make. So it's just like, this shit's weird.
Yeah. And the crazy... And the craziest thing is, bro, no matter what vandalism, like, no matter who is actually, like, whatever, destroying stuff or whatever, whatever color, like, whether they be white, whatever, bro, anything that's centered or happens around the Black Lives Matter movement is going to be put on blacks. You feel me? So even if it's, like, people who are against black people who are, like, pretending to be allies or whatever, who actually just want to, like, destroy stuff while people are protesting just to make it look like you know what I mean, point the finger. If this is a Black Lives Matter movement, I'ma say, white person who like I don't really rock with this movement, I'ma go destroy stuff, who that's gonna go back on the Black Lives Matter, like black people, bruh. Even though like whoever else could be involved, it's not only like black people supporting this movement and stuff, but when it comes back or when it's like when the finger is getting pointed, it's like on black people.
Yes, yeah. Even
at the end of the day,
the opportunists just come and start fucking shit up, start trying to hit they lick.
Exactly, opportunists
in the hate of it, not the hate, but the haze of everything. You know,
exactly.
Like that goes right back on the same joint.
Yeah, man. I mean,
man, that's just like another problem.
Facts. I don't think people necessarily are against Black Lives Matter. I think they're more so just opportunists and more so anarchists. And I feel like once the, I don't want to blame this on the movie, but like once the movie The Joker came out and everyone kind of fantasized over that, you know, kind of anarch, you know, society and craziness happened, like ever since then, I don't feel like no one's actually taken this shit serious. Like they just see it as a just another segment in a movie. Because if you look, like there was some protest in, I believe it was in SoCal, and some dude came up fully dressed in a fucking Joker outfit and just thought this shit was just a play, bro. So it's like, I can definitely see how people use this as an opportunity to get what they want. But some people, I feel like they're just anarchists and they just want to just to see shit burn, just to burn. So whether good or bad. So, I mean, it's too many parties and groups that are into this shit. Go ahead. My fault.
Yeah, but even then, like you got a bunch of you always gonna have multiple opinions. Like you always gonna have people on the middle, far left, far right, blah blah blah. But it's also the fault of the media, like because regardless, the media is gonna report what it's gonna report, and if it's responsible for the information given. So if that's the one that's if they're gonna acknowledge or because a lot of the times they be on scene. So if you're gonna see this blah blah blah, blah and automatically attach it to the movement, then you're kind of it's false news. You kind of just promoted anything to get your views up.
Facts.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all clout chasing.
We already know that's what it's all about.
Yeah. That's what the news media is number one in clout chasing. Come on now.
It's crazy.
This shit boomed on social media for like a month, and then after that it was real quiet. Man, real quiet on the media. Cold part is I wonder if the city did that or if it was a person.
I mean, who knows? Everyone's connected somehow, some way. So I'm pretty sure somebody in the city had to have a hand in that. All right, so since we addressed, you know, the whole Jacob Blake thing, you know, let's get back to music right now. So how did you first get into music, Mute?
Yeah, so I got you. I think it first started, bro, with just like, it had to do a lot with my upbringing. So like growing up, my grandma used to have a CD player in her crib. But you could put like 6 CDs in it at once and it would just rotate. And like, so she used to just play different, like Marvin Gaye and like.
Nigga, that ain't no CD. Like, she had a jukebox, boy.
Whatever,
what you mean?
Like, you know what? My grandma would play like a lot of R&B. So I think that's when I started getting into like listening to music. I started listening to that. And then like around my pops, I got a lot of like hip hop influence. He was listening to a lot of Lil Wayne and Master P and things like that. And then my mom was like on the gospel wave. So I was in the church as well. So I think all those different, musical backgrounds first got me into just listening to music, rhythm, and whatever. And then in middle school or like elementary school, I got interested in writing poetry. And I don't know, it's just a way for me to get my thoughts out in like a way that couldn't be tainted, I guess. At one point when I was just writing poetry, I was like, dang, like, I mean, some connection happened in my head, and I was just like, why won't I put this poetry over a beat, you know?
Yeah. You wrote some shit down in it, and it started to rhyme, you said.
Yeah. That was like the beginning of the journey. But then I also, like, at first it was different, because when I would go write my poetry, like, I would usually write a poem first, and then I would, like, try to fit it to the beat or whatever. Or I would try to have that, like, spoken word tone, and sometimes that's not it for like it's making a song. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you need to hit a tone or like whatever when you're making a song is different. So I think like that was the beginning of my journey to like then start discovering like what it really was to put lyrics over a beat and make a song. And
in high school
I started taking it super serious, and that's when I started like making projects and came up with the name and everything.
Hell yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that's dope, bro. Yeah, so basically you came up or you grew up around 3 different genres of music, which is pretty dope. I feel like I feel like most of us have, because the way our personalities go, we all got three different, like, not three different personalities, but we all have balance in ourselves where, like, it's like, I'll fuck your shit up, but don't fuck with me. Like, I praise Jesus, but all right, let me chill out real quick. Let me think about this shit before I really get active. Like, I feel like all three of us have definitely been in that phase in life. So I know what you mean by growing up in the gospel and then growing up with some Master P and then growing up. Oh, yes. And growing up all different types of genres, bro. So I definitely see what you mean with that one. Cause, and shout out to Michaela, because I'm pretty sure I was listening to gospel half the times because that saved me from going crazy in the norm. I surely got kicked out before then, because I know that.
Young streeter, young
streeter. Yeah, I feel you. Oh, man.
Yeah, but that's dope, man. B, you got a question for him?
Hey, man, yep. Hey, have you toured? And how many times, if so?
I haven't toured.
No?
No. Not I've yet. Done a bunch of shows. I don't know how many shows. Probably like 20, 30, something like that.
Yeah, oh, I got a long. Shows.
I actually got a list on Google Drive. I got like a little like performance resume that I have, but I got all my list of shows there. I haven't done a tour yet, but I've done just like a bunch of shows out here. I think I learned how to like be comfortable in my skin first and foremost, but then also like I learned how to like almost bring a song to life, bro. Cause it's like, it's a different experience than just listening to it or rapping it or being in the studio making a song. You know what I mean? It's like, people are here to see you. People are here, you know, took the time out their day to like stand. It's usually standing. Cause I don't really like venues where people sit down. I feel like I'm not an orchestra.
It's not a festival.
It's not like, this ain't no clap. Like, nah, niggas, stand. We good. Yeah. But, like, I would usually be at venues where people stand up, bro. So I just feel like feeling that energy and, like, bringing a song to life that's almost familiar but in a new way. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, the – if I could just put performing, it's like bringing a song that everybody knows but kind of bringing it in a new little way, you know, that brings a different feeling.
I feel you. You take liberties when you be on stage at all? Random.
Do I take what?
Liberties, like artistic liberties, like you be switching up your song at all when you perform on stage or not, you know, adding little ad libs, something like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll do some shit because like, bro, everything is like, aside from the set list, everything is pretty much like just spontaneous, bro. Like I'm feeling it. I don't know what I'm gonna tell the crowd to do, but I know like I need to do a call and response of somehow to keep people engaged and stuff, or you know, I need to tell people to have their hands up, whatever it is, bro. But I definitely like have those little liberties where I'm like, you know what I mean, doing my little ad libs, or I hit my little dance or whatever. I'm just talking to the DJ, or it might be the breakdown of a song and I'm just like, hey, like getting everybody turned or whatever. Like even if it's not a part of the song, or I'll just add something at the end. Yeah. Hey, money, how somebody say that. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll just be it's straight up like a freestyle low key.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
That's cool. Get inspired in the moment.
Hey, I think all of that is great, but I think that shit is gonna be 10 times better when we have a live band, like Borda said. When you got a live band in the background, bro, you could look at the nigga in the drums like,
hit that shit.
Off of there. Going crazy. Exactly. Like, that's what I'd be like, all right, I'm going full speed at that point.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a different feeling too, bro. It's gonna be a different feeling. I just gotta put my little band together, you know what I mean? Put a little.
Hey, you already got a drummer, bro.
Yeah, facts. We just need somebody on the guitar.
Yeah, don't ask me to do that. None of that shit. I'll fuck your shit up.
I'm gonna definitely think about that.
Hell yeah. All right, that was a good question, B. You've been doing music, or you just been expressing yourself, you know, creatively past like 10, 12 years, whatever now, since you've been doing poetry. But since you really got into music, like the past 6 or 7 years, you started to make music and then you also started to produce. And then you also said that you're into mixing as well. So which one do you think has been the hardest to try and grasp or try and, you know, learned from in any of those three situations so far? And which one do you think you've grown the most out of in those three situations?
I think I've grown the most probably with, like, writing, just because I've been doing it the longest. And, I found different ways to, like, say things or, like, finding different melodies and different pockets and cadences and stuff like that. All right, so one I grew the most, I feel like, is writing. But the one that's the hardest, I would have to say, they all difficult in their own ways, bro. But I think for me personally, it was, like, probably the mixing.
The mixing?
Just because I think it was, like, it was something that was so foreign to me, like, from the beginning, I think. And something that was so, I don't know, I guess not, like, talked about, you know? I had to do research to figure out what mixing. I know I can get a beat. Boom. Yeah. I know I got the beat. I know I record it. I usually would just level it, like, back in the day, and I would call it a day. Fast. I didn't know what EQing was or adding a compressor or, like, a DAT, like, all that stuff. So I think that was probably the hardest thing to learn, mixing. It's just like, why am I doing the certain things I'm doing?
Yeah, you know? Definitely. But
that's like, also like, I don't like to just go about things like, oh, I'm supposed to do this. It's like, why am I EQing right now? Oh, to take out the bad frequencies. Hell like, why am I DSing? So when people listen to it at a loud volume, they're not getting killed by this. That's piercing their ears. That's why you hear on every song that you slap. Like, on every song where somebody is spitting a lot of S's and you turn it up and it's not that harsh, bro, that engineer worked on those. Like,
damn, that's true. Bro. I didn't even thought about shit like that.
I'm going to need to work on this podcast because all my shit sound like somebody beatboxing in the back every time I talk.
Not even, bro. When I get back, we definitely going to talk, bro, because that's like, if you worry about that, bro, it's literally like an EQ, bro. And, like, it's straight,
All right, it's good.
I literally everything, bro. But
it's good.
Yeah, I say I'll grow most writing. The most difficult was mixing.
Mixing, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm pretty sure you got to have like a trained ass ear for that too. And I definitely would have gave up after about the fifth or seventh S. I'd be like, look, bro. Yeah,
I think
if your shit don't sound right no more, that's your fault.
I think a part of it, too, is it's kind of like the most – it's like the grunt work, you know? It's like the dirty work. So I think it's kind of, like, undesirable in a little bit. But once you realize how important it is, shit, you get over that quick. Yeah, that's what makes it sound nice.
Do you ever find yourself kind of falling more in love with the song the more work you put into it? Because it does kind of transform, does it not? Or does it become – or is it more like creating something that you already hear in your head?
That's a good question.
That's like a love. It's a love and a like hate thing almost. Cause it's like when you mixing it, it's like damn, like you fall in love with the process because you're just hearing it get better and better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also for the niggas who like, you know, after you drop a song, people don't know like you've probably listened to it 1,500 times.
Yeah.
While mixing it, you know what I mean. So it's like, damn, yeah, this song is good, but I done heard it like a lot of times. I'm ready to put this one out. You know what
I mean? Don't play this shit in the car. Please do not, bro.
Yeah, bro. So I think it's a little bit. It's both, bro.
Yeah,
you get to a certain point, like, I love it. It's the process. But then you get to a certain point where it's like, you know, let's put this out. Yeah, because it's like – I don't know. I've also been not getting too attached to that type of shit, you know? Not trying to make things too perfect. Does this sound good? If it sounds good enough, like, if I think I can make it to the best I can, and if I just feel like I'm going back to the project and I'm just working on this and I'm not even doing nothing, that's really important. It's like, what am I doing, bro? Just put it out. I've been trying to stop overthinking, bro.
That's literally all the time, bro.
If it sounds good, it sounds good, bro. People gonna hear the progression, whatever. Like the next song, we're gonna mix it better if that needs to be, but I'm gonna get it to the best point where I think possible. I'm not gonna spend 2 weeks on one song when I know I can, you know what I mean? Or it all depends, you know. But it's like some songs you have that feeling where it's like, bro, I know I don't this could be out. Or that one song that's like, ooh, this might be for the album. I actually might need to really sit down and mix this. Like, it all depends.
Is it all feeling? How you kind of differentiate what it's for? Like, do you know beforehand?
It's feeling, bro.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know if it's one of them. You just know.
You got that in your gut. You
feel it. Bro, straight up. You know if this is one, like, this song is cool. Like, we could put it out or a single. Or if this one is like, yo, we actually, like, this is the album. Like, hold off on that.
Yeah, this should hit a little different.
If you really, like, speaking on, or just, like, the way it just makes you feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
But, yeah, I've been trying to go off feeling and not overthink shit.
Mm-hmm.
When you get that, you gotta put that shit out. That's automatic. But when you get that, sit on that. Let me sit on that real quick.
Yeah, let me sit on it, come back to it with fresh ears. And that's the craziest shit, bro, like, about music, bro. It's like, I may listen to a song today that I hate, or I may listen to a beat that I hate, and I'm like, oh, I can't write nothing to this. Or like, I don't like this song. But then I don't listen to it for like a week, and then I come back to it, and I'm like, look at this shit hard. Like, because it's just like, you come back to it with fresh ears, bro. You totally forgot what the song even sound like, bro. Mm-hmm. So you come back to it, you like, oh, shit. Like, it's just like a whole new experience, bro.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how did you feel like you're out, like, any, because you know how in anything you do, I feel like your outside experiences kind of always affect it, right? Especially if you're talking about like that with fresh ears, that's kind of like to your headspace, really. Like, you could have been in a different headspace when you listen to it again or whatever, right? What experiences outside do you feel like influence your pen time or your time in the studio?
I feel like just life, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. As simple as I can put it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, life, bro. There's nothing else, like, that I can talk about.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, but that, I think,
bro, it's just like,
can I say one thing real
music,
quick?
My music is straight. Quick? Yeah.
I think what you mute is you have to talk about your life, bro, because, like I said, we got three different aspects of it, bro. So it's not like you could just portray one false reality, like, I'm a gangbanger, I'm that shooter, I'm that killer. Because in reality, we literally live three different lives, bro. We were nerdy-ass kids living up in the hood where it was fucking drive-bys, literally 2 feet away from our dorm room, bro. So it's like, you got to talk about all aspects of life. You can't just focus on one aspect. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely
and
respect
like,
that.
And, bro, just, like, how I look like, that's a fool, bro. How I look like, for my brothers, bro, speaking to y'all. If I hop on the track and I'm toting this and I'm whatever that I'm not doing, and y'all actually know, y'all actually know me, like, that just feel like, it feel phony. Like, why would I even want to do that, bro?
Yeah.
It don't even, like, it doesn't make sense. So I can't even, like, make music like that, bro.
He said, you know, I got that thing on me. He said,
I report in my life, bro. Everything that I speak on is factual.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, man.
100%.
None of that fake shit, man.
No.
That was a good question.
And that's different. Like, yeah, I think it's, and I think it all depends on the person, you know what I mean? I came into this shit, like, with a different intention, like.
Very true.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
very true.
My
people
purpose,
have different intentions.
I came to talk about what's really going on in my head because I don't really do that well communicating with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like. That's what I do this for. I really, like, hop on the track and, like, spit that pain, bro, because it helps me.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Yeah, that's real therapy right there.
You know, exactly. But it's also, it's not like I don't have fun either, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's like, bro, that's what I'm saying. People always like to, like, judge people off one song or whatever, bro. And, like I said, bro, I'm so, like, in my head, I'm so, like, not overthinking, like, I don't care, bro. Like, I can make a song with auto-tune, and then I can make a song that just sound like Jay-Z might hop on it. You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter, bro. It's just how I'm feeling that day, and it is what it is, bro, because that's just one song. Each song is like a collage of my entire life, bro. So I'm not really tripping off, like, whatever.
I like that. Hell yeah,
bro.
I'm pretty much out of questions I had. I mean, so I think we already kind of answered this, but, like, to you, like, what does music mean, and, like, what is it represent to you, basically. So, like, you know, like you said, it's more about your life or, you know,
I feel like,
things like that. But yeah, what does music just mean to you in general?
Music to me is like a therapist. Music to me is a safe place where I can go to talk about everything that I need to talk about, get off my mind or chest in the most protected way possible. I feel no pressure. I feel no opinions. Like, I don't really, I'm in a safe place. It's just like when I'm in the creating world and I'm creating something, like, it's just me in there, you know? Not saying that other people can't hop in my world, but I'm not really like,
but it's an oasis. I'm not really, it's just you
yeah,
right now.
I'm not really, I'm not really like, you know, you're going to experience my world how you experience my world, and I experience it how I experience it.
No, definitely.
Yeah, you ain't got a binge or nothing. That's cool.
You got one more question, B?
How'd you get that shit on Apple Music?
That's important, bro. That's a great question. I'm so glad you brought that up, B, because I've been talking about it.
Hold up. For all my Bay Area artists, y'all need to listen to this right now. Gunshots, please. Listen to this shit. Let's go. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to go first word that the definite, like, COVID. People need to be learning about ownership, bro. That's the one thing I'm going to say, ownership. If you're not trying to learn about ownership, owning something that's yours, bro, I literally go look it up, bro. People need to be entrepreneurs. Stop working for other people unless that's what you really want to do. But at the end of the day, like, you got to go get it, bro. Ownership. So anyway, how I put my music on Apple Music and stuff is I go through an independent distributor. So there's multiple independent distributors. That could be TuneCore. That could be DistroKid. That could be CD Baby. I think United Masters also does that. Me personally, I use DistroKid.
Okay.
So I think I pay $45 a year or something. I get to upload as many songs as I want, unlimited, to all the platforms. Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Tidal, whatever. And that's pretty much all I do. You'll get royalties from that on the publishing end. So, like, each time you get paid for streaming, each time somebody streams your stuff, you get paid or whatever, you get little updates at the end of every quarter. So, at the end of every 3 months, you know, March, whatever, so on and so on.
Niggas ain't good at math. Go ahead.
And that's pretty much it, bro. It's a good way that if you're an independent artist, you could put your music up and keep 100% of your revenue. You don't, there's no middleman, there's no label. You own 100% everything. The master recording, you know, it's all you. You don't have to worry about anybody taking it from you or whatever. So if you're trying to get your stuff on the platforms, like I said, DistroKid is where I go, I use.
DistroKid, TuneCore. Yeah. I didn't heard about TuneCore. That's the only one though. I didn't know that there were so many options.
Yeah, they're different options. They all have different pricing models and stuff. So it's just like whatever fits you, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Were a lot of those recent, or did you know about those from the beginning? Like when are you?
I did not know about those from the beginning. No, hell no, bro. I didn't know about those from the beginning. I wish I did. I don't know when I found out. Probably sometime in college. Like my junior year or something, sophomore or something like that. That's when I found out, and I was like, oh, yeah, we got it, bro. Because this is.
But you was always on about owning your own music though, because even when we was in high school, we would be listening to Nip, and we used to always talk about how that nigga owned his own music and all that shit. So I mean, you was always with that. It's just it comes with time.
Exactly, bro. So I think I always had that idea of like owning my own music and stuff. I guess I didn't necessarily have the knowledge or resources yet. I didn't know what DistroKid was. I didn't know what a master was or what royalties were, you know, just like all this little music term, music industry business shit that like you really need to learn if you want to be in it. But don't know. Damn, I feel like I got some more knowledge and stuff. I'm a little bit better positioned than I was in last year in terms of what I know about certain things in this music.
Shit, that's fact.
Yeah, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Bro. Exactly.
Step forward every day.
That's fair.
All right,
man. I still got that mixtape you dropped in high school, bro. I just came across that a couple days ago. That shit was nostalgic as fuck,
bro.
I was like,
"You feel me?" I go back to listen to it, and I'm like, cringe. Like, but like at the same time, I'm like, damn, I love it. I want to leave it up because people can go listen to that, and then they can go listen to the most recent shit and hear the progression. Yeah.
I remember that first one.
That was
fun. All right, man. So we coming up to the final question of the interview. So Mute, do you have any new music or projects that you are thinking about releasing anytime in the near future, or do you have any projects that you're planning on starting at least in the near future?
Yeah, so damn, you about to get that exclusive right now.
Hold up. Don't say nothing. Let's go. Exclusive. All right, go ahead, my fault.
You good. I'm actually in the middle of working on a project right now with two of my homies, Maxi and Miles. So it's gonna be the triple M project. MMM.
Hey,
triple M project, bro. We're working on that right now. It's gonna be out like pretty soon.
Hell yeah.
We've been mixing, still like recording kind of a lot of music already recorded.
Are you gonna try and get it done before you come back to Cali?
We probably gonna get some of it like in terms of the mixing, but we still trying to figure out how we wanna like roll it out. Cause we got a bunch of songs. We don't know if we want to pick the best of each whatever songs and have like 12 songs, or if we want to do like three different chapters, like 7, 7, 7, yeah, whatever. We don't know how we want to do it yet.
That sounds
so fire. I think we got the content. We just still figuring out how we want to roll it out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That sounds fire. Yeah, I'm ready for that. That
Yeah, bro, we're going to be dropping a single soon. I'll send you out a cover art, but we're going to be dropping a single soon off the MMM project. It's called Cruise Ship.
Hell yeah.
And, yeah, I'm going to send you the cover art, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, send me that cover. I'm going to use it for the interview, I guess. Put it on down below. But I'm not going to say it's your song. Let me just put it there.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, B, you got any more questions?
Nah, that does it for me.
You good?
I appreciate y'all, bro. This was a good-ass conversation.
Yeah, sir, man.
Yeah, but happy to have you, bro.
Man. Always, man. And it's only right that the first interview got to be with y'all. So it's like, come on now. That's only right.
Yes, sir. Come on, bro. What you doing? I appreciate y'all, bro. I can't wait to see y'all.
Yes, sir, man. You finna be back in the Bay soon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Steve. Area.
Yeah,
we got a whole lot to discuss, bro. Sure.
That we do. That we really do. That's a whole other shit. But
hell yeah.
All right, man. Thank you, Mute. Thank you, my brother. Wet down the longer second, my longer second, the third, aka the best drummer in the game, and one of the best artists in the game, Mute Smith, for being a part of the show today, man. Again, we want to thank you for being our interviewee. It's our first one, so sorry if we was kind of trash at first, but we're gonna get it together eventually. But yeah, bro, thank you for having us, and yeah, we're gonna catch you next time, bro.
Yeah,